Well, brothers, it's March 14th, 2023. The time is 18:20 hours. Ward Green here. I wanted to say I'm really sleepy right now, and there's a couple of things I want to say, but I had a great big glass of lemon juice, homemade lemon juice, because I bought some lemon, concentrated lemon juice the other day, and I just made lemonade with xylitol. I'm sleepy. Xylitol? I don't know why I'm sleepy. I slept really a long time. So I think one of the problems was I'm taking vitamin D wrong without knowing, wrongly. I'm taking it. Vitamin D is in all the multivitamins. You know, you can't take your multivitamin if you want to avoid vitamin D. That's another thing that I wasn't aware of until today. Just how much vitamin D there was in the multivitamin that I was taking. So you've got to be careful if you've been poisoned with vitamin D, it may not be easy to avoid vitamin D. Vitamin D is present in fish too. And I've been eating fish, oily fish, but you can't eat tuna every day because it has mercury. You can't eat it. You should not eat much tuna. And then I learned how to detoxify mercury. One of the ways is vitamin C, and also you can detoxify mercury with glutathione, which I didn't know. So I learned a whole lot of things in the past 24 hours. And I want to do our study before I fall asleep. I don't know what's going to happen. I found out that lemonade and xylitol are both laxatives. So you put them together and you use xylitol to sweeten lemonade and you have a powerful laxative. A very natural and powerful laxative, which is really a major discovery for me. I didn't know any laxatives, essentially, none that were natural like that. So it's a fantastic thing to know. There are so many things that Jehovah is revealing to us. And even in these last days, and he's revealing things to us every single day. Or we're speaking about them every day, and he's revealing them every night. As the Psalm 19, chapter 19 of Psalms says, let's do Genesis 14 before I fall asleep. Now it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is to say Zoar. All these marched as allies to the low plain of Siddim. That is the Salt Sea. The Salt Sea, the Sea of the Arabah. Today we call it the Dead Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year Chedorlaomer came, and also the kings who were with him. And they inflicted defeats on the Rephaim in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Emim in Shavi Kiriathaim, and the Horites in the mountain of Seir down to El Paran, which is at the wilderness. Then they turned about and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and defeated the whole field of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who were dwelling in Hazazon Tamar. At this point, the king of Sodom went on the march. And also the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is to say Zoar, And they drew up in battle order against them in the low plain of Siddim, against Chedorlaomer king of Elam, and Tidal king of Goyim, and Amraphel king of Shinar, and Arioch king of Elasar, four kings against the five. Now the low plain of Siddim was pits upon pits of bitumen, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah took to flight and went falling into them. And those who remained fled to the mountainous region. Then the victors took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food and went on their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, and his goods and continued on their way. He was then dwelling in Sodom. After that, a man who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew. He was then tabernacling among the big trees of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were confederates of Abram. I'm so sorry that I'm so sleepy. Thus Abram got to hear that his brother had been taken captive. With that he mustered his trained men, 318 slaves born in his household, and went in pursuit up to Dan. And by night he resorted to dividing his forces, he and his slaves, against them. And thus he defeated them and kept in pursuit of them up to Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And he proceeded to recover all the goods. And he recovered also Lot, his brother, and his goods, and also the women and the people. Then the king of Sodom went out to meet him after he returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him to the low plain of Sheveh, that is the king's low plain. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. Then he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, producer of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God who has delivered your oppressors into your hand." At that, Abram gave him a tenth of everything. After that, the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the souls, but take the goods for yourself." At this, Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I do lift up my hand in an oath to Jehovah, the Most High God, in an oath to Jehovah, the Most High God, producer of heaven and earth, that from a thread to a sandal lace, no, I shall take nothing from anything that is yours, in order that you may not say, 'It was I who made Abram rich.' Nothing for me, only what the young men have already eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." Well, I don't even think I should comment, because I want to get... Well, what else were we studying today? Anything else? Is there another book that we're studying? I don't remember. I know we're studying the article. I want to double check the book if we can't remember. I really want to get this done. What is it? Let's see. Well, that's it. Yeah. I've got more to report after this, but let's get the reading done. I mean, we've already talked about chapter 14 of Genesis, because we talked about Gudea being Chedorlaomer in an earlier video. Wasn't very long ago. And we talked about that in the context of the book of Jasher, too. So, I don't know what to say. Paragraph 311 of Wild Road. Then the last detail to explain is the unattested year 12 for Seti the First, with his reign 1327 to 1315, and year 1 is 1327, being favored by the lunar alignments. First Parrot 2, November 17, 1320, year 8, which is lunar day minus 1, which is the day before lunar day 1, or it could be lunar day 1. That's what that means, minus 1/1. And 3 Shemu, 20 June 3rd, 1318, year 9, lunar day 2. The latter being 4 days before year 10. before the beginning of year 10, and the former several months prior to Passion 1, 7 years, 5 months after accession, with year 8 running Epaph 24, June 7th, 1320 to Epaph 24, June 7th, 1319. Year 9, then Epaph 24, June 7th, 1319, onto Epaph 24, June 7th, 1318. Also, 4 Shemu 12, year 11, June 24th, 1317, is Lunar Day 5. These are just a list of the dates that are known for Seti I. Two more dates for Seti I being year 8, 3 Parrot 13, January 27, 1319, Lunar Day 12, year 1, 2nd Auket Shrine, August 20th, 1327, Lunar Day 12, both of these last, when shifted a year back, being near Lunar Day 1. Not that we can shift them a year back, but whether this is accountable by a co-regency or not, the implication is two plausible year ones for Seti I, with the accession of his predecessor Ramesses I, May 1331, making Seti I's accession June 9, 1327 preferred, based on the 4 years, 1 month of Manetho's Armes, with the possible 1 year, 4 months of Ramesses therein being the death of Ramesses I after a brief co-regency. Seti I then reigning from October 1326 for 11 years alone. The reign of Ramesses I then lasts up to 5 full years. However, I's reign remains 1348 to 1344, and so 4 years. But that's, of course, ignoring the fact that Horemheb year 1 is 1341 as an alternative, which means that I would be 1348 to 1341. So, none of these things are compelling. None of the things in this paragraph is compelling. It's just that these are alternatives. I mean, all these dates are actually given if we take year 1 as 1327, then all of these dates are the given dates that result from it. But there's still the possibility of perhaps the first year of Seti being a co-rulership with Ramesses I, and that's what's mentioned at the very end here of the discussion, second last sentence, and the last sentence, or the third and second last sentences, rather. But I mean, it's just for the sake of thoroughness that these things are considered, okay? In addition to what's been said prior to this, there's always another possible interpretation of what the evidence is, and so that's why this discussion was written, maybe partly because this is the second last paragraph. It has to be wrapping up this chapter along with the paragraph coming next. So the way that this is written was not intending to reveal any new information, not really, because it's winding this chapter down to a conclusion here. It's an anticlimax. It's not building up to a climax here. So, oh goodness, that was a powerful discovery of what a laxative is like with lemon juice. I don't know if I ever knew that, but I may have known it about lemonade. I don't recall. But the xylitol is a laxative too. Together, and they taste really good together. Xylitol and lemonade, or xylitol and lemon juice with water, tastes really good. It's, you know, now xylitol can always substitute for sugar, but it may not taste as good as sugar in every case. But with lemons, it certainly tastes good, I thought. And that's a great thing because it doesn't rot the teeth like sugar. It does the opposite. It prevents tooth decay. So knowing that, I'll be drinking lemonade a lot now, knowing that. But I'll be diluting it more than I was. I was having a lot of lemon in that last, and a lot of xylitol. I'll be having a lot more watery lemonade than that one, than the last one, which is like about 4 tablespoons of xylitol and 12 or 14 ounces of water, and how much lemon I didn't measure, but maybe a quarter of a cup of concentrated lemon juice, or I'm not sure how much, maybe more. It was a very concentrated lemonade, putting it all together. I guess the water would be less than what I just said, because it was probably more like 10 ounces of water because of the lemon juice taking up some of the space. But it was a very, very potent lemonade in more ways than one. Taste and also the laxative power of it. It still might take its toll on me yet. But I'm not tired because of that. I did my income tax today. I wasn't planning to do my income tax, but then I got the news that the bank had the updated records, and they probably had them already. I just hadn't looked for them. But once I got that notice, I went and decided. Well, the other thing was, when I went out the other day, I got my other income tax notices by mail. The T-slips that you get. I'm not sure what you get in the U.S. In Canada, we get T-slips that indicate our income from different sources. So I got the last remaining T-slips today. I mean, I opened them the other day, but I used them today. I got them when I went shopping, which was the 11th. Is that right? A few days ago now. Whenever I went shopping, I got the income tax notices, the part that come, the notice of the information from the T-slips, the part that comes by the mail, by the regular mail, paper trail mail, that part of the income tax I got a few days ago. So I think last year I did my income tax on a few days, a week before the time I did it just now. I'm not sure, something, or, you know, a number of days earlier than I did this year, but still, we don't have to do it till the end of April, I believe, so I'm still well ahead of the deadline. I'm waiting for the report. I only have to pay about $65. Unless I get corrected by the government, and if they tell me different, but if that doesn't happen, then it's $65 is all I have to pay, which is not nearly as much as last year. I had to pay more than $1,000 last year for income tax, just the way everything worked out. So quite different, a different scenario. I expected to pay more, so it worked out quite well. It would appear, and now it's done. But it was a high pressure job to do all of a sudden, but on the spur of the moment too. I did it on the spur of the moment without planning to do it. I had to download the software. Log into the place where I get the information to automatically fill out the tax computer form, and then in the software, and then I had to pay for the software, which is very inexpensive considering, but something like $17 to get my taxes done this year by myself, yours truly. I got them done. So I mean, it looks like I did. I was as I've done them enough times now that I think I know what is really happening. But of course, if I ever forgot anything, I would amend, and I would be able to amend the text form later on. But it was the fastest I've ever done my taxes, I guess, was this time today. It's the fastest I've ever done taxes. And I did make sure I took extra time to verify some of the important things, including some of the rebates that you can get. If you pay property tax, you can get a rebate if you're a senior citizen. You need to look into that and check it over and see on the BEN provincial form. You need to check that over and make sure you've gotten all the rebates you can get, all the extra money that is available for the government to give back to you. Which is quite substantial. So I was as thorough as I could be, in addition to trying to get it done quickly, but I just wanted to get it done so I could do my study, but I didn't realize also that I would be this tired. Now, what did I... Maybe something I drank or something I ate made me tired. Also, it's possible. I had spaghetti. I made spaghetti again. And what you can do, when you make tomato soup and it's too sweet or too strong, too powerful a tomato flavor, all of a sudden I realized the other day that, well, I don't have to eat it as tomato soup or tomato stew. I can make pasta and use it as tomato sauce. It was just a very good flavor for a pasta sauce. The problem was I'm trying to use up the tomato stew that I made, so I put a lot of it on the pasta, and I put a lot of cheese and a lot of other things, olives, garlic, and it didn't really taste like pasta anymore because I lost the flavor of the pasta. I buried it with too many other things, so I learned something there. I think it's good. I think it's good if you don't really want to lose the flavor of the pasta. You want to make the pasta, you know, stand out in the flavor. And olive oil I put in there too, in the pasta. I don't cook the olive oil. I just put it on top of my pasta at the end. I could have just had pasta and garlic. That would have been fine. I mean, olive oil and garlic and pasta would have been fine. As long as there's some salt on the pasta and so on, which there was. I just think it's quite simple to make a delicious pasta. I don't know how I ruined it somehow. I seem to ruin it by adding so many different flavors and so much different pasta sauce, but I learned something. And it just didn't taste like anything close to being spaghetti, I didn't think. Just didn't taste like it. Maybe too much cheese was the main problem. That Parmesan cheese is very powerful. So the update on the vitamin D is be very aware that a lot of things you are using as supplements might contain vitamin D. And that's something, if you're trying to purge vitamin D from your body, you have to avoid anything that contains vitamin D. That includes oily fish too, like tuna. And the mercury in the tuna, you have to avoid that for toxic reasons of their own, because of the toxicity of mercury. Very, very dangerous. So many things I learned already. I'm going to be, and also, I guess, drink a lot of salt water, saline, standard saline water. Water with some good salt in it, and to the amount of, you know, standard saline, which is 0.9 grams per 100 milliliters, or as I explained the other day, it's equivalent to 5 milliliters of saturated saline solution in water, salt saturated in water, 1 teaspoon of that, or 5 milliliters of that in what did I say it was? In 200 milliliters, yeah. 200 milliliters of water. But, you know, you have to verify the calculations as well before you do it. Make sure it doesn't taste overly salty either. But it's a great way to purge a lot of things out of your body is with just plain old water with a bit of salt. So, what else am I doing? What else was I doing? The weather is very, very warm. It's supposed to rain or snow for the next few days or many, half a day or more now. But we haven't gotten much snow so far. And then it's supposed to be warm, so a lot of snow might be melting in the next few days. Four degrees Celsius is about 39 Fahrenheit, I believe, and it's just supposed to be so warm. All the warm weather looks like it's coming, so all the snow should be vanishing pretty soon, but you know, we can't rely on that, but you know, because we might still get a big snowstorm, but still. It's warming up, and I have to start peeling off the layers of clothing. And, you know, indoors, I can't use my heaters as much. And I have to do a lot of things preparing for the summer weather when I'll be using air conditioning instead. So, it's a difficult thing to get it right every season of transition when we're changing from one temperature to another. It requires a great deal of alertness and adaptability to successfully do that, and we'll be having a time change around the March equinox too, which is around March 20. What is it? March 20 this year, looks like. But you know, it's not that's not when we have the time change. Okay, when does the time change? March 12th, Sunday, okay. Oh my goodness, we've already had the time change? We've had the time change. I didn't notice. It was on the weekend, okay. So we've had the time change already, but my computers would have already reflected that. But I just haven't... Oh, wait a minute. That's not right. I didn't change my watch. Oh, my watch is wrong. Yeah, that's what it is. Both my watches are wrong by an hour. That's what it is. Well, that's good. I'm not using my watches for anything critical, but I've been using them to write down the times for some things where I'm not near the computer, so I've got to correct those. Or else I'll be wrong by an hour. So, that's it for today. I didn't realize we've already had the time change. I got to make sure. That's good, though. That's great, because now I don't have to think about that anymore. We've already gone. We've sprung. Spring has sprung, and we've sprung forward in our clocks. But I've got to adjust my watches. Well, there's an hour forward. When is it? The second Sunday in March? What is it? No. Here it says Sunday, March 26th. Hang on. 1849. Well, I'm at 17. That's not right. So second Sunday in March. Yeah, it begins on the second Sunday in March and ends on the first Sunday in November. Well, I've known it was coming all this time, but I had no idea it was coming. It's funny because I've seen the time change so many times in my life, every time. I've never really remembered when it is exactly. Second Sunday in March. I don't know if it's... I guess it's not much point either in learning it, because they might... They could always change it at some point to some other date if they want to for the time change. So there's not a lot of reason to memorize it, but ends on the first Sunday in November. I sort of knew that about the first Sunday in November, maybe. But the second Sunday in March... So it's not on the equinox. It's fascinating. And it's not near the September equinox either. It's in November. So that it's not near either equinox. You would think it would be near the equinox. Logic would indicate that it should be, but anyway. I wish I were more awake and I can consider these articles, these chapters in more detail, but I'm not really able to do it right now. I think it's good to sometimes just read something and not always have to analyze it. It's good. It's good just to read it. And then when we go to bed, our brains can process information while we sleep, and we wake up with a whole new outlook and understanding sometimes because of what we've been doing in what we've read during the day. So, but generally I would say the one thing we knew about SETI was that year 1327 as year one was good for his lunar alignments. That's one thing that we knew about SETI. We've known that for some time with regard to SETI, that year one works well as far as lunar alignments go when year one is 1327 BCE for SETI the first. That is sort of the reason why we feel like in chapter 3, paragraph 11 of Wild Road, that it's necessary to explain the unattested year 12, because he reigns from 1327 to 1315 with year 1 in 1327 as favored by the lunar alignments. So I'm not going to try to analyze it any further, because I know I'll have difficulty until I get some more sleep. So I will leave that for now. Maybe we'll come back to that if I'm more awake tomorrow. But I slept a great deal last night. I slept a lot of time. I went to bed very early and slept all night long as well, and didn't get up till about, well, after daylight, so 7 or so in the morning. And that was going to bed at, I think I went to bed, well, maybe it was after, it wasn't after midnight, that's for sure. So I had a lot of sleep, but I mean, I might have gone to bed. It seems to me I slept in the afternoon as well, part of the day. So, I mean, I've been sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. And then I'm still tired. So part of it is I'm sleep deprived from other days when I didn't get sleep, but it's got to do with drowsiness being an overdose symptom of vitamin D too. Got to make sure I do not take any vitamin D, continue on allowing the D to be purged from my system, and I've got to try not to take calcium, because that's a bad thing to take. You know, I'm taking a small amount that had calcium in the cheese, for example. And by the way, I want to correct. I said that peanuts have vitamin D2. No, that's chocolate that has vitamin D2, not the peanuts. So the peanut butter doesn't have vitamin D2. That's a mistake. It might, though, but maybe Jehovah knows it does. I don't know it. So I shouldn't say that it does, because I misquoted that. It's because I just learned that. I've been learning so many things recently that that the consequence has been that I've gotten some things mixed up. But I mean, they will get sorted out. And the thing is, knowledge is what will be the result of all this research and all this learning. Eventually, I'll remember it accurately. So I apologize for the mistake about that, because vitamin D2 is in chocolate, not peanut butter, as far as we know. So when I was eating peanut butter, that should have been safe. That's good to know, too. I wasn't eating a lot of vitamin D, which would have been a bad thing to do. And I haven't been eating much chocolate. And anyway, I haven't found the chocolate gave me any adverse symptoms. The peanut butter seemed to give me more adverse symptoms than some of the other things I've been eating. So, but it just made me a little nauseous to eat peanut butter by itself, I guess. Maybe that's some other reason. Evidently, it's not vitamin D, anyway. So we need to continue. For those of us who have been taking a lot of vitamin D, we need to continue to be diligent and try to avoid consuming vitamin D consumption. Avoid vitamin D consumption for a while, for the next, say, month or two. And make sure. But if you haven't had any adverse symptoms, of course, you need to maybe just cut back on vitamin D, or stop vitamin D for a while. Everyone's different, so depending on how much you've taken, how much your body can get rid of. If you need to get rid of vitamin D, then listen to your body. And if you eat vitamin D and it bothers you, stop eating it. But stop it. Stop it anyway if you think you've been taking more than you should have. Just to see whether things get better by stopping. And then you'll know how to proceed at that point. Eventually, you'll want to start taking it again, because your health will benefit and you'll feel that you need it. It'll be something your body will indicate by the level of health that you eventually reach. You will not have as good health if you don't have some vitamin D in your body, but it's a one day at a time problem. But also make sure that the final thing is always take enough of the K2, vitamin K2. Always take vitamin K2. And the vitamin K2 in the MK7 form, I believe, is the best for the kidney treatment. That's what I believe, but I'm not certain, but that's what I have been able to gather. I believe that's correct, but you can always take MK4 because they're both non-toxic, and vitamin K2 does not cause a problem that we know of at all in any way, in any form of vitamin K2. You can take MK4 and it can cross the blood-brain barrier, but MK4 doesn't stay in your body very long, only a few hours, whereas MK7 stays in your body for 72 hours. So MK7 is the most effective as far as staying in your body, but I believe it's the one used for kidney, improving the circulation in kidneys, and to treat kidney dialysis patients. It's MK7 that I believe is the one that's used. And you can take, there's no limit to what you can take with regard to vitamin K2. It's just not a toxicity situation. None that we know of. There's no toxicity that we know of. Vitamin K2 causes the body to produce, using vitamin D, vitamin K2 will cause the body to produce certain proteins that are then used to reverse heart disease and reverse arthritis. And it does things that are good for the kidneys also. It improves circulation. It does a lot of things. Possibly they're all related too, by reducing the blockage in the arteries and maybe in the tiny blood vessels also. The same thing may be causing the improvement in the kidneys. I'm not sure at this point, but that needs to be researched. But the other benefit, if you're overdosed on vitamin D, keep taking vitamin K2 because it will help consume that vitamin D. And so, but just don't take vitamin K2 in a formulation that has any vitamin D in it. If you've already got too much vitamin D, that's all. Avoid vitamin D. But you can still take the formulations of vitamin K2 that contain only the K2 and not the D. But all these things, you would think you want to be cautious no matter what it is you're eating. We're always cautious. But it's very important not to neglect K2. Don't underestimate the importance of vitamin K2. Never, ever assume that you can be healthy by avoiding the consumption of vitamin K2. That would be a potentially very grave mistake. So this is Ward Green. It's March 14th, 2023. It's 19:01 hours. I'm very sleepy. I'm very happy to be complete or finished, I mean, in the study for today, to be done. I hope that you got something out of this today, little children. You can always study the Bible on your own. You can always read the articles on your own. You don't necessarily have to have me. You can study things on your own. I'll be back, I believe, in hopefully better health very shortly, but my health is not too bad. Today I'm very sleepy. But I also did a lot of work today with the income tax being accomplished, so I'm going to be glad to go to bed and sleep again. But I'm going to be hydrating too. I just can't wait to drink a lot of water right now. But water's toxic, don't forget. Water's toxic. If you drink too much water, it'll kill you. 5 liters for one person, one adult, can kill that person if it's consumed too quickly. Like in the course of a day or so, or perhaps less than a day, I don't know. But it's 5 quarts of water kills you. So water's toxic too. But that's different from vitamin K2. It's not toxic. So have a great day. I love you. Praise Jehovah. In the name of his son, Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ. Have a wonderful day again. I love you very much. Bye for now. Seek first the kingdom and Jehovah's righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Kiss you.